Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If someone were to ask you later today what you did this morning, you would probably say, well, I attended church. And you did. Another way of saying that, as we Lutherans sometimes say, I attended the divine service. That phrase, divine service, gets a little bit closer to the heart of the matter, to the reason why we Christians gather on Sundays. We mean it in two ways, actually. We do mean we gather in service to God in order to worship Him, in order to declare His praises, in order to give His word the attention it deserves. But we also mean it in another way, and maybe this is the main way that we mean it. We gather to receive the service of God to us. The ministry of word and sacrament, that word diakonia that we talked about in Bible class today. The ministry. Or as St. Paul calls it in today's epistle, the ministry of the New Testament. Now, the Apostle Paul praises his New Testament ministry in today's epistle to the Corinthians. He doesn't praise himself, but the ministry that he has been given to carry out. Why? Because it was so much better than the Old Testament ministry, which also came from God and was glorious. That ministry that God gave to the people of Israel, especially at Mount Sinai, when Moses gave the law and began that Old Testament ministry. The focus of the Old Testament ministry was on that law of Moses, and the priests continually carried out the demands of that law in their temple ministry. While the focus of the New Testament ministry is on the gospel, as Jesus and his ministers have been proclaiming it ever since he instituted the New Testament in his blood on Maundy Thursday. Unlike the Old Testament ministry, whose main purpose was to keep showing people their sins until Christ came, the New Testament ministry's main purpose is to preach Christ, who is our righteousness before God and whose death on the cross paid for our sins. Unlike the Old Testament ministry, whose message was mainly condemnation for all who disobey, the New Testament ministry's main message is justification, the forgiveness of sins for all who believe. Unlike the Old Testament ministry, which was destined to pass away when Christ came the first time, the New Testament ministry is destined to last forever until Christ comes again. The Old Testament ministry was glorious because God instituted it and God glorified it in the Old Testament. But for the reasons just mentioned, the New Testament ministry is far more glorious. But the ministry of the New Testament, like the ministry of the Old Testament, is carried out largely through preaching. Oral, verbal, audible preaching. As Jesus said in the same chapter of Mark, chapter 7, from where we took our gospel today, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." So it is a great disadvantage not to be able to hear. Not an insurmountable disadvantage, but a disadvantage all the same. Our gospel tells of that man who couldn't hear when he was first brought to Jesus, but after he received Jesus' ministry, he went away both hearing and speaking. As we'll see, it's not only the physical inability to hear or speak that is the problem. There are other ways of being hearing impaired and speech impaired. Worse ways, in fact. So if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and receive today Christ's glorious ministry for the hard of hearing. The deaf man in our gospel didn't come to Jesus on his own. He had practically no way of knowing Jesus, not being able to hear. But he had faithful friends with working ears who had heard enough about Jesus to know that he was kind and good and merciful and able to heal diseases and perform miracles. So they brought their friend to Jesus and pleaded with him to help him, to put his hands on the deaf man. But Jesus didn't just put his hands on the deaf man. Jesus didn't just speak a word in order to heal him, as he sometimes did with people. In this case, he wanted to minister to the deaf man first, to preach to him with an elaborate set of motions and gestures, forms of sign language, in order to teach the man some things that are even more important than the miracle of physical healing. So, first, he took him aside from the crowd by himself. What does that communicate? It communicates that no matter how busy Jesus may appear to be, no matter how many important people are crowding around him, vying for his attention, he's happy to take time for a complete stranger who has come to him for help. Not that anyone really is a stranger to Jesus, who knows what's in a man, who knows all men. Next, he put his fingers into his ears. I know these ears don't work, but these fingers of God are powerful to open your ears. And remember that the Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to in Scripture as the finger of God. Just as the fingers of Jesus will open deaf ears, so the Spirit who works through the Word, who enters through the ears when it's preached and heard and pondered, enters and converts the heart. Then Jesus spit and touched the man's tongue. We can't tell from the text where Jesus spit, but it seems likely that he spit onto his hand before he then went to touch the other man's tongue. In any case, it certainly flies in the face of normal interaction, and it certainly flies in the face of all the COVID-safe practices that are trumpeted in our society. Can you imagine? Didn't Jesus know how diseases spread? Didn't he know he was endangering that man, or in danger from that man, or risking giving us a bad example of how to interact with people? Of course, all of that is foolishness and part of man's arrogance. We're so smart, we know how diseases are spread. We're so smart, we know how to prevent the spread of disease. We're so smart that we know that preventing disease is the most important goal of human interaction. Again, it's foolishness. Jesus was teaching that man and us that he is entirely unconcerned with disease as far as catching it or spreading it. He's entirely unconcerned with how gross human interaction can sometimes be. He came to earth to deal with us personally, closely, individually. He took on human flesh with all of its secretions and fleshly vulnerabilities in order to minister to us in person. Here he shows especially that healing comes from his mouth, from his flesh, from his body. Just as the blood that came from his body shed on the cross heals us from sin, and then also fixes the tongues that are so slow to confess him that are impeded from declaring his praises before men. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and sighed, a sign that Jesus is now praying to his Father in heaven, the fountain source of all goodness. I, Jesus, am right now interceding on your behalf. I, Jesus, am the mediator between God and men. We can actually put Jesus' own words to this gesture if we look at what he said in John chapter 11 as he used a similar gesture. As he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, we're told that Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Finally, he said to the man, that one word in Aramaic, "Ephphatha," be opened. And immediately the man was healed, both his ears and his tongue. Healed through the word of Jesus, through the ministry of Jesus. A ministry that focuses on God's service to man rather than on man's service to God, as Jesus himself would later say, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, as I said at the beginning, physical deafness isn't the only thing that makes people hard of hearing. There are earplugs out there that keep God's word out of people's ears and hearts. And there are lots of noises out there too that drown out the word of God, making people unable to hear it and therefore also unable to confess him with their mouths. Self-righteousness makes one deaf to God's word, as we saw last week in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Why pay attention to God's ministry of reconciliation if I'm pretty sure that I'm already good enough on my own? Related to self-righteousness is self-sufficiency. What need do I have of receiving the ministry of God's word if I already think I have enough to live a good life here on earth? The world's deceitfulness also makes people turn off their ears to God's truth. Religion, they say, is for the weak and the weak-minded. It isn't scientific. It isn't real. Then there are all the troubles of the world that distract us, that keep us focused on all the bad things going on around us, so that we tune out the Word of God and the comforting ministry of the gospel. The world's concerns, the devil's lies, the flesh's laziness, all these things keep unbelievers from hearing the Word of God and threaten the hearing of believers as well. And when we're slow to hear God's word, then we become also slow to speak of Christ, as there are so many earthly things to dwell on and even to complain about. But Jesus has left a ministry in the world to treat all these forms of deafness and muteness. A glorious ministry of preaching and teaching and administering the sacraments. Glorious, not because it's outwardly attractive, but because it accomplishes glorious things, like bringing the dead to life. So Christians, like the deaf man in the gospel, had friends, so we Christians can be friends who can bring other people to the ministry of Jesus, to the New Testament ministry. Friends who invite and urge their friends and family and neighbors and acquaintances to come to the New Testament ministry, to the divine service, to church. It's a great act of love. And if you're going to bring someone to church, with the hope and prayer that Jesus, through His Spirit, will open their ears to His gospel, then we ought always to make sure that what they see and hear here in our divine service, everything they hear and see, is focused on the gospel itself. The last thing you want is to bring a friend to church and have the word of Jesus drowned out by earthly things or by false things. No, we want Jesus to communicate His gospel through the things that people see when they come to the divine service, the pulpit, where the word of the living Christ will be proclaimed, the baptismal font that reminds us how God first brings people into His family and gives them new birth and new life, the crucifix that reminds us of the sacrifice that made atonement for the sins of the world, the altar from where the body and blood of Christ will be distributed to God's people for the forgiveness of sins. Even the Christians themselves who have gathered in faith and who are paying attention and singing and praying and participating in worship. All these are visual aids. All these things, together with our liturgy and our hymns and our music, it's all part of the glorious New Testament ministry designed to get our attention away from ourselves, away from how we feel, away from earthly concerns, to point us to Christ and the gifts He holds out to us here, even the forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear the gospel and believe. And believing, let him also speak. With tongues that have been loosed by the power of Christ. And don't just speak about earthly things that are all passing away. Don't just speak about COVID or about work or school or the weather. Don't just speak about right behavior or about the right political views. As one of the speakers this last week at the Republican National Convention rightly said, "I am not just pro-life. I am pro-eternal life." Take a lesson from that. With ears that have been opened and tongues that have been loosed by Christ and by His Holy Spirit, speak of better things, of lasting things, things that point people to the glorious ministry of the New Testament, things that point people to Christ. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.